The Big Short. Goldman Sachs defends itself on Capitol Hill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Goldman Sachs executives go before Congress today. They're accused of fraud and of profiting from the housing collapse to the tune of $3.7 billion. Here to talk Goldman with us is Gillian Tett, U.S. Managing Editor for the Financial Times. She joins us live. Good morning, Gillian.
Good morning.
So a lot of internal emails have come out in recent days. Those emails seem to indicate Goldman knew the housing market was going to crash. How significant are these emails?
I think the emails are very significant because they shed light on what until now has been a very murky world that nobody outside Goldman's or the banking industry could actually see. And they confirm what people have long suspected, which is that banking had spun off into a little planet of its own, pretty semi-detached from the rest of society, where it was viewed as entirely normal to be trying to bet that the mortgage market would crash and to profit from that.
Goldman CEO Lloyd Blankfein has said he won't settle with regulators. Considering these emails that have come out and how damaged they might be, is Goldman's reputation at risk if things drag on?
Absolutely. I mean, almost irrespective of what happens now in the law courts, Goldman has been judged guilty in the court of public opinion, in the court of the politicians, if you like. And if this drags on and on, no matter what Goldman says, it's going to very much damage its claim that it always puts clients first, that it always tries to uphold good values.
One of the more surprising things that Blankfein is expected to say today is that he understands why people might question investment banking and its role in the economy. And indeed, it can sometimes even be hard to explain what investment banks do. Would it be a bad thing if investment banking went away?
Well, I think that something that people have fundamentally forgotten in recent years is that banking is a utility. It has a utility function like, say, the water industry or the electricity industry, and it produces something which is good for the rest of society and gets things done. And nobody would tolerate a situation where water companies were endlessly being creative with their water and trying to slice and dice it to make more money off the back of water. And in the same way, we need to ask ourselves, why has banking become so complex? Is it actually bringing about wider social good or not? And I think certainly if you look at the story of CDOs, the type of things which are discussed in the Goldman's email, it's very hard to say that that's actually been good for the economy as a whole.
Gillian Tett of the Financial Times. Gillian, thank you.
Thank you.
The financial reform bill is stalled in the Senate, but even talk of regulation had Wall Street's attention. U.S. markets closed mixed yesterday. The Dow was basically flat at 11,205. European markets are off this morning after Germany expressed reservations about a Greek bailout. London's FTSE is down 1.33%. Germany's DAX is off 0.75%. First quarter earnings are out for Ford Motor. Ford posted a $2 billion profit. Apparently, we're buying cars again. And the latest ad from GM touts its fiscal progress.
We want to make this a company all Americans can be proud of again. That's why I'm here to announce we have repaid our government loan in full with interest, 5 years ahead of the original schedule.
It seems the U.S. auto industry is staging a comeback, as Jill Barchet reports.
Auto analysts predict Americans will buy lots of new cars as the economy recovers. Kristen Gicek is with the Center for Automotive Research. She says many of those cars will be made in the U.S. So after years of layoffs, the industry is expected to add 180,000 jobs through 2012.
It's anybody who works at, you know, a very small tool and die shop that makes inputs to the automotive industry. It's somebody making a Honda in Marysville, Ohio.
John Walkonowicz is an analyst at IHS Global Insight. He says all the new jobs in car buying are a sign that the U.S. auto industry isn't going to disappear, as it almost did during the financial crisis.
Yeah, this is a real turnaround, and you know, we're seeing turnarounds of greater or lesser extent at Ford, GM, and Chrysler.
Walkonowicz says American car makers are now more productive. But the flip side is we won't need as many assembly line workers as we used to make the same number of cars. I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. By the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia. And by Vanguard, Vanguarding is an investment philosophy designed to help individuals reach their financial goals. Vanguard.com.
Today, the Environmental Protection Agency is launching a Biggest Loser-style competition for energy use in school and commercial buildings. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner has more.
The EPA chose 14 competitors. They range from a JCPenney store in Orange, California, to a dormitory on the campus of North Carolina State University. Competitors will track their monthly energy use and see who can shed the most, in this case, kilowatt hours and thermal units.
Our goal is to reduce energy usage by 25%.
That's math teacher Michael Logan. Crystal River Elementary in Carbondale, Colorado, is among the competitors. Logan says as public education funding shrinks, schools need to find all the energy savings they can.
Every dollar we save in energy can be turned into money for classroom teachers, for books, computers.
Maura Beard is with the EPA. She says commercial buildings typically waste 30% of their power and heat. Take retail stores, she says.
We found that they often are heating or cooling a building for many hours before the store actually opens or closes.
EPA has its own energy-efficient label for appliances and buildings called Energy Star, but the label came under fire recently after a government audit found the certification vulnerable to fraud and abuse. Beard says the buildings in this EPA competition will have to submit utility bills to prove their energy savings. Oh, and unlike the TV show, EPA's Biggest Loser won't win a $250,000 prize, just a whole lot of good PR. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally, California's Santa Clara County is considering a proposal today that would ban fast food companies from putting toys in kids' meals. They worry those toys reward unhealthy eating. Good luck explaining to your six-year-old why America's obesity epidemic means she can't get her mermaid doll. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.